Thank you very much for that welcome, and a warm welcome it is. I was actually raised in Missouri, and I didn't know there was any other kind of weather than this. I thought this was a reality. Then someone dragged me off to California, and it has other advantages and disadvantages. It's a great privilege to be here with you this morning, and I would like to take this opportunity to talk to you on the theme of the mastery of your life through King Jesus. Jesus is the King of all the earth, and we are given the privilege of trusting Him. And if we do that, incredible resources for life come to us, which we can't have in any other way. You see, the challenge that faces every human being when it comes into this world is to master the life that has been given to it. By mastery, I mean nothing very elaborate, just very simple. I mean making it come out in some good place. Perhaps where you would like it to be, but if not where you would like it to be, at least where you will like it once you get there. And often what we would like to be isn't really what is best for us. But that figure of a tree standing by the rivers of water that Tom just mentioned is a beautiful one. Because what it really refers to is a tree that is all green and verdant and fruitful, even though all around it is dry and parched. And the reason it is green and verdant and fruitful is because its roots go down into the ground and they reach out and they tap the rivers of water that may actually be running at some distance from it. And here it stands in a dry and barren place, perhaps, and yet disregarding all of that, it is a green and fruitful tree. And we are meant to be verdant and fruitful people. And God put us in this world to do good and to enjoy good. He meant us to have that under His reign and under His rule. And I want to talk something just about how that works today, and I'd like to try to be very simple and direct about the basic ideas. And the text that I have chosen for this is Romans 5:17, and if you want to make a note of that and think about it, and perhaps if you have your Bibles, turn to it, Romans 5:17. And these are the words of that verse. If by the transgression of one, referring to Adam, death reigned. Now notice, death reigned. That is the common experience of human beings, is death gets the last word. And the life that they live up to that point is one in which things do not go as they should. There's great distress and trouble and confusion. And now in contrast, through the one, and the one there is Jesus. The first one is Adam. The second one is Jesus. Through the one, much more, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign. That's the second reign. Okay, you got two people here, Adam and Christ, and they initiate, each initiates a type of life. One is a life that is constantly coming apart and finally comes apart totally. And the other is a life that has an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, and that one will reign. Notice, reign in life, that's now. That's not talking about later, though it covers that too, because later will be now then. But will reign in life by one, Christ Jesus. What's the basic idea here? The basic idea is one that is so central to human life, and that is operating in a power that is not our own. Now, I have just one little addition to that idea, but I want you to get that idea first. Operating in a power that is not our own. Did you know that Adam, before he fell, did not sweat? And we still say, no sweat, don't we? To indicate that it's cool, right? You see, sweat is emblematic of a person who is having to make life go in his own power. And air conditioning deals with sweat. It isn't in your power, is it? Air conditioning comes from electricity, which in California we've been having a little trouble with, you may have heard. But see, it's so important because we've become so dependent on a power that is not our own. Now, I was actually raised down in the Ozarks, where there wasn't any electricity except what came in the form of lightning bolts. And this was notoriously unuseful. You know, it was not under our control. We couldn't do anything about it. See, and the struggle of human beings throughout history, from the invention of the wheel and fire and on down the line, is to bring more and more power that is not their own under their control. And we hunger for it. 4th of July, I was flying back from Madison, Wisconsin to Chicago to Los Angeles. You know how many lakes there are in Wisconsin? When you fly over it, it's just like lots. But the 4th of July, I kept looking down at them because I saw all these white kind of marks. And I couldn't figure out what's wrong with the lakes. And then I realized those are speedboats. Right? And you look down at those lakes, and it's just like they had all these marks, like someone's taken a brush with chalk or white paint and marked here and marked there and marked there, and then of course you saw they were moving. Why in the world would one be interested in a speedboat? I suspect we've got some people here who own speedboats. And actually, I think the mystery is easy to solve. Speedboats have a lot of power. And people are hungry just to feel the surge of that engine. And that's why we don't have cars named sheep or snail. Right? We had one called a bug, but even that wasn't its proper name. You know, they didn't call it that. Because we want tigers and leopards and all kinds of powerful things in our automobile. See, that's actually something very deep. And while it can go wrong and go to seed in the wrong direction, it is actually referring to what is built into us. And that is the need to live in a power beyond ourselves. But I said I had to add one more element to the idea, the basic idea here. The basic idea of reigning in life by one, Christ Jesus, is to be able to live in a power beyond ourselves. But in this case, it's not a power that is impersonal. It's a personal power. To reign in life by one Christ Jesus is a way of living with a person who shares with us his power. I was so delighted to come in and hear Tom talk about it and then see the yoke, the oxen yoke that you use for a symbol. Because you see, that is Jesus' invitation to step into union with him and to learn from him and to live from him and also to be empowered by him to deal with life. Because what you're yoked to brings its power into your life. And that's the dreadful thing about sin. That's the thing that Adam didn't know about, but we surely know about now, is that when you yoke yourself to sin, it'll take you further than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you ever planned on spending. Because it is a power that will drag you to death. And it will be a death that is a living death. It will happen in this life, and when we look about it and we read the newspapers and we listen to the heartbreaking stories of our friends and our acquaintances, as well as look at those we don't know personally, we see the power of death. And that's why in verse 14, Paul says, in this really very deep passage before we come to this one, he says, death reigned. Death reigned. Reigned means rules, governs. Doesn't mean that kind of reign. It means rules and governs. Death rule. We live in a world that is governed by death. Our very human governments, even our own, could not exist except for the threat of death. Human government is based upon the power to impose death. And sometimes they tax you enough that you might welcome it. Right? Those two great inevitables, as Benjamin Franklin said. So what the basic idea here, and I don't want to lose this thought, I hope that you'll be able to carry this out, and that as I go along and talk about various things, you'll keep this thought in mind. The basic idea here with this phrase, reigning life in life under one Jesus Christ,
idea of living in a power that is a personal power.
And it's not our own. It's not under our control. It is a gift of grace. It's a gift of grace that comes to us throughout life. And everything we are invited to take that gift as a part of our action and to know the reality of God acting within us and through us and giving us a life that is indeed a life of mastery and not of loss and corruption and destruction, where we're just living at the mercy of circumstances. And this is intended to extend into eternal life after we leave the scene. And the connection between learning to reign in life through one Jesus Christ now is a continued life that will go on beyond what we call death. And that's why Jesus said, those who believe in him will never die. Is because in interacting with him and living by this power of grace and righteousness that comes from him, we are given a life that never stops. It continues from that point and goes on forever. Psalm 8 is a very profound psalm. And if you have your Bibles and care to look back at that, let's do that for just a moment. Because this beautifully illustrates what God has given us by our creation as well as by his grace. Psalm 8 is an expression from David about the greatness of God. And we have a praise song, I believe, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. You probably sing that here. But what is remarkable here is the combination of the majesty of God and the lowliness of God. Look at verse 2 of this psalm. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes you have established strength. What could that possibly mean? Well, it means just what we've been saying. It means that the weakness, the smallness of the individual does not restrict the expression of God's life through them. And I hope you will understand, I'm talking about you and me. See, we are the babes. We are the nursing children, small children. And you remember how Jesus spoke about we must repent and become like little children or we can't enter the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is God's rule. And I want to talk about that now, and I want to talk about your rule. You see, the babe comes into the world, it has almost no power at all. And one of the things about entering the kingdom of God is to recognize that as far as we are concerned, we have almost no power at all. And yet, when you look at a little baby, what is the thing that most strikes you about a baby? Well, I would say there are a lot of interesting things, but one of the things that most strikes me about a baby is their presumption. They just presume, don't they? They come into your house and they just presume. And as they grow, they become more and more presumptuous. We have a 3-year-old granddaughter, and it's wonderful to see how, as she has grown, she has been able to become more and more presumptuous. And of course, that's a delight to grandparents to see that. They say because they can always send them home. But see, that's what characterizes a baby, is it presumes. And you know, except in terrible situations that have been ruined for human life, that presumption is met. People take care of it. I mean, what? Its tiniest cry, and the whole household leaps into action, right? You know the story. See, now, when we look at that, we want to remember we're seeing something very deep about reality. Very deep. God is the kind of God who responds to the slightest cry. And David knew this himself, because David was a nobody. You'll remember that when Samuel came to David's house to look for a king for Israel, they overlooked David. He was the youngest one, a ruddy-cheeked little boy. And they went through all of the fine young men who were his older brothers. And the Lord said, did not say to Samuel, anoint this one or anoint that one. And Samuel was puzzled and he said, isn't there another one? He didn't know. Oh, David, yes. You see? Oh, he's out taking care of the sheep. Right? See, that's smallness. That's the position of the babe. That's the position of the helpless one. And see, David is so interesting to study about reigning in life, because that's what he did. He reigned through his God. And when you look at this rest of the psalm, you'll see the amazement that possesses him. He says, you have chosen the weak to prove to your adversaries your greatness and to make them cease and give up. Give up holding on to their own rule. The big brothers and the Goliaths of the world. David says, when I consider your greatness, the heavens you've made, the work of your fingers, what is a human being that you even think about him? It is amazing. David couldn't understand it, but David knew. And he took advantage of it. And he goes on to say, you have made him to rule over the works of your hands. And see, that's one of the things that's characteristic of human beings. They come into the world and they presume, and they just keep on presuming. There are people at my university that are using your tax dollars to figure out how to manage earthquakes. Did you know that? There are people now who are actually thinking about how to reforest the planet Mars. I don't think your tax dollars have gotten into that one yet. But it's very likely it will. See, that's the presumption that is built into the human being. Weak little piece of dust comes into the world, a squawking baby, and grows and grows. Because you see, you were made to live in a power that is not your own. That's what you're made for. And that's why when human beings, maybe they hear about a bunch of whales trapped in an ice floe in the Arctic, and they immediately decide, let's do something about that. and they get up an exposition and raise money. And you know, you say, why should they think about that? That's human nature. And that's what David is talking about here. Look, you made him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and the beasts of the field, the birds of the heaven, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. Now, if David were living today, he would say all computers and automobiles, all airplanes. Right? He didn't have those. Whatsoever passeth through the paths of the freeway. Okay? Because now that's what we have to deal with, you see. And our whole life, our issues in medical ethics, stem cell research. You see, these things come up because now we have so much power. And that is a result of what God intended for human beings. And this is really the story of Israel. I don't have time to give you a lot of illustrations this morning, but I think you'll know them. Take the case of Daniel. Everyone knows the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Well, you know, that's the wrong description. It was the lions in Daniel's den. Think about it. When Daniel stepped into the den, the lions gave up. And when he left, you can bet they wiped their brow and said, "Phew, we're glad he's out of here." Okay? Because they were not in control. You see, God has intended that. Now, I don't want to lose us here in grand abstractions. What I want to say to you is very simple. You have a kingdom. It's simple, but I have to stop and let you think about this because you may not have known that. You have a kingdom. See, if I were to walk down here and take this lady's purse and begin to go through it, she would feel something untoward was happening. Right? You would, wouldn't you? Yes. Right. You see, I would be invading her kingdom. What is your kingdom? Your kingdom is what you have say over. You may want to write that down and just think about it. Your kingdom is what you have say over, and every person comes with a kingdom. Now, if you're bothered about such things, you can talk about your queendom or whatever, or persondom if you like that. But you have one. You wouldn't be a person without one. You see, no, there. When you take what you have say over away from you, it destroys you as a person. And the worst kind of slavery is the enslavement of the mind and the spirit. You may recall, some of you look like you're old enough to recall, when brainwashing entered the vocabulary. And that was a terrible thing because what it meant was you put people through a process through which their very thinking became not their own. And that's kind of the ultimate level of brainwashing. And do you know that that is exactly what sin does to people? It takes over their thinking. And that's why you will hear people justifying the craziest things imaginable. It's because their thinking is no longer their own. The sin that entered the world through Adam has taken over their mind, and through that is controlling their life. You see, you have a kingdom. And I say again now so you'll understand it, your kingdom is what you have say over. And that begins with your body because that's the primary place in which you exercise rule, is your body. And of course you know how violated one is if they're enslaved or something of that sort, or put in jail, or violence, what happens in violence is your kingdom is invaded and what you have say over is misused by other people. That's why violence is so bad. Okay? Now then, the second thing I need to say to you is your kingdom is designed to work only in union with God's kingdom. Your kingdom is designed to work only in union with God's kingdom. And what is God's kingdom? God's kingdom is what he has say over. Now you might think, well, that's everything, but no, actually it's not. At least for the time being, he has decided not to have say over your kingdom unless you say so. And he's preparing us for a future of reigning forever and ever with him, in which what we have learned of working with him will enable him to turn us loose and empower us to do what we want. Now think of that for a moment. See, what you would most desire if you have a child is that they would grow to the point to where you could let them do what they want to do. Isn't that right? And don't we look forward to that, hopefully, with a child? And nothing would give joy to your heart, even if you're a parent and not a grandparent like I am now. Nothing would give you more joy than to help your child do the things they wanted to. But now we're in a process of the development of our wanter. And that's where the gospel of Jesus comes in. The gospel of Jesus is, repent from your kingdom and from the human kingdom and enter the kingdom of God, which is now available to you. That's what he preached. That's what he showed. That's what he manifested all the time. So you see, he comes to us and says, how are you doing with your kingdom? And I ask you that this morning, all of you. How are you doing with your kingdom? The human ruin that we see all around us is what Christ came to redeem us from. And he comes to give us a mastery of life that is deep enough and strong enough and intelligent enough to deal with every issue that arises in our life. Strong enough and big enough to deal with our own failures and our sins. But that's only the beginning. Because the Christian gospel is basically about life from above. Not just about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a necessary moment in which we lay down our arms that we have developed to run our own kingdom. And of course, we invariably use them on other people. And there can be no peace between your kingdom and my kingdom until we come to peace in the kingdom of God. And Jesus comes to us and says, yes, you can enter my kingdom and you can know the mastery of life which comes by living in the power and in the yoke of Jesus. And if we had time this morning to talk about it at length, we could say a lot about how prayer, for example, functions in that union of kingdoms, your kingdom and God's kingdom. Because in prayer, we're talking with God about the things that we are doing together. And, you know, if you start talking to him about the things that you and he are doing together, and if you've turned your life over to him, you're going to have so much to talk about that you'll never get done, which is precisely his intention. And why Paul tells us, pray without ceasing. Because you will learn to surrender everything you're doing and undertaking at any moment to him, and to pray and to communicate with him about what you're doing in every moment. Well, let's just say a few words about what that means for each of us here today. Because I don't know where you are. I sort of slyly slipped in that question, how are you doing with your kingdom? But I'm serious about it. And I hope as you go out of here today, whatever you've heard before or thought before, you're going to carry this idea that you have a kingdom and that you are invited to bring it fully into the kingdom of God. Because that is where we come to reign in life by one Christ Jesus. I don't know what may be facing you. Some of you might have to honestly say, well, you know, I'm really still carrying my kingdom on my back, and that's why I'm so mad. Because angry people are generally people who are carrying their own kingdom. And that's why I don't know if they do that here, but, you know, we shoot one another in California over over things like parking spaces and freeway traffic and big things like that. Now, why does it happen? Well, you may have seen that bumper sticker that says, "Yes, the road does belong to me." See, that's kingdom stuff. See, that's saying, I'm to have my say over the road. Now, the more you try to have your say over, the more trouble you're in. Until you take your say into God's say. See, many people are just lost. And when I say that, I don't primarily mean where they're going to wind up. Being lost is not something about where you wind up, it's something about where you are. Lost people don't know where they are. Did you know that? If you're lost and you have a map, you can't even use the map because you don't know where you are on the map. See? Being lost is not knowing where you are. And many people are like that today. They've taken their kingdom and they've gotten off this track and that track, and they know they're in trouble perhaps, but they don't know where they are. You might be in that position. I think there's going to be a time of prayer later on in just a few minutes. And I would ask you to think about giving up your kingdom to God. Or you may be in some bind in your family or in your work. Or you may have some problem of health. Or perhaps you're just concerned about social conditions or what's happening with your children. See, all of those are matters where we can learn to reign in life through one Christ Jesus by bringing our kingdom into His kingdom and allowing His power to begin to go to work on the issues that concern us. Am I making any sense to you? See? Because I want you to understand that wherever you are, wherever I am today, that is the place to reign in life through one, Christ Jesus. And so I'd ask you to just take a moment and reflect on where you are. And take that place and give it to Him. No problem that He's indifferent to, no need that He can't meet. But we have to give it to Him. Let's pray together. Father, You know that our kingdoms are so confused that we don't even know how to give them to You. And so we ask that You would touch each heart and mind here today where the need is and show them the beauty of a life that is triumphant and reigning no matter what the circumstances, because it is caught up in the life of Jesus. And now by Your Spirit, move in each person here that they may know the reality of this to the honor and glory of Your Son Jesus, who is our life. We pray it. Amen.